Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got a table full of P3 beers right now.
Yeah, man. We are not complete P3 fanboys, but it's close. You know, it's close.
Nick is more than me. This is the most Phase 3 I have ever purchased in my entire life.
Yeah, man. You got three of the P3 pills. Three of the Fest beer, three of the Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm. And then three Geos. Well, only two now because I was drinking the Geo before we started the show.
What's Geo, the IPA?
It is the West Coast Pils.
Oh, so this is an all lager mix pack.
Yeah.
Lager variety pack, if you will.
This is a great mix pack.
It's gorgeous.
Especially for us because we're doing all these Oktoberfests. And this is our first Fest beer.
Yes.
Added to the lineup.
Fest beer is usually more of a straw-colored sister beer to the Oktoberfest season.
Right. They're lighter. Let's look at the note. They're crisp. They have a cracker herbal note to them.
Okay.
Or, as Nick was saying, Schlitz. The original Fest. Well, not... Probably not the original Fest beer.
I've been in my car for like 2 hours, so I have a sip, and I'm like, it tastes like a Fest beer, but then it finishes like a macro lager.
Right.
Yeah, and I couldn't get it out of my head.
But we're drinking out of these obscurity...
Oktoberfest mugs?
Mugs that I got during Oktoberfest when I was there, but they don't make the beers any more enjoyable. They're kitschy.
Brad thinks the beer is affected by the mug, and I'm prone to agree with him in this case. Because, you know, fancy glassmakers like Spiegel will tell you, you know, where beer hits your palate and the type of vessel you drink it out of affects the way it tastes.
Right. I don't know. You feel like you're, I don't know, either your winter season in front of the fire with this, or you're practicing witchcraft in the woods.
Yeah.
With these kind of mugs.
or you bet it all on the Chicago Bears and now you are residentially challenged.
That's probably the dumbest thing to do.
Now you're unhoused, I think is the phrase.
Oh, yeah, unhoused. Yeah. You may have to unalive yourself. Because you're unhoused.
I mean, you know.
Oh, no. But yeah, so we're sitting on this festival first. It's tasty. It's fine.
Yeah, and then but then also, we don't have a gauge. Like, what are we comparing it to?
Right,
Fest beer wise.
I gotta finish this Fest beer, then we can open up some of these Oktoberfests.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the 12-ounce cans. I think there are a lot more 12-ounce cans making a comeback in general. It seems.
Yeah, and they're cute too. You know, I think you know, if we wanted to, we could pull up We could pull up a quick descriptor from the beer guide on like
on 12-ounce cans.
Not on 12-ounce cans, Brad. on like what a Fest beer should taste like.
You know?
I mean, we could do that from the BJ
hit me with the knowledge.
BJPC styles, right? So what is it? Fest beer.
All right, we'll go into one of these.
Fest beer. So what you want is moderate malty richness, an emphasis on toasty and doughy aromatics. With an impression of sweetness, you know, they got the floral herbal spicy hop thing down. They got that down. Clean lager fermentation character.
Yeah, it's easy drinking. I feel like if you roll up to the bar, and you're not sure what to get, especially around this time of the year, and they have a Fest beer, you just kind of get that you have one, and then you're figuring out what you want next.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a showcase of German malts without being too heavy or filling, and you shouldn't notice alcohol.
Okay. Then I just cracked open the Oktoberfest, which this is a solid Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Maybe a little on the sweeter side, but I think, again, this mug's messing me up.
Don't want the old obscurity under the bus, huh?
I know, yeah. Sorry. But I won't go back. They won't.
I mean, if you're going to Reims, then you go back.
I guess so, yeah. Everyone talks about Reims.
Not, yeah.
It's that good?
It's the real deal. I mean, for stuff that is for stuff that you get and take home to grill, it's just a very high quality meat.
Okay, yeah. I always feel like I am someone who doesn't necessarily want to spend that much on something that I could mess up.
Fair, yeah.
I'm gonna go somewhere that maybe has Reims meat, or someone that like had like back in the day, Stiegel's Farm was like
the
hard thing to get or a special thing to get, and now it's kind of everywhere. But yeah, digging this Oktoberfest. I think it fits right in the like kind of middle of the road Oktoberfest that we've had so far.
I don't know. It kind of tastes like Schlitz a little bit to me. No, I'm joking. But yeah, you're right. I don't think it's is it the Old Irving or the even the New Glarus one? No.
Okay.
But you know, it doesn't. What's the word? I'm looking for a reason to not like it, and I don't have that reason.
Yeah.
Oftentimes these lagers are so subtle. With their, you know, with these notes, that you're just looking for a reason to not like it.
Yeah, and coming from a crew like Phase 3, which is kind of known for these, I don't know, big hoppy beers or
hazy
stuff.
And you know, and pastry stouts and fucking smoothie sours, right?
Right, to tone it all down to do a fest beer in Oktoberfest. All right,
That's true. Yeah. You got to appreciate the range, you know.
Nice. All right. So we're going to sip on these. This week, Nick made it to some spots, and I stayed home and cried in my glass.
I
drank my own tears because I didn't make it anywhere.
But, you know, round of applause, pat on the back, because you got after it the other week. So
yeah, I'm gonna go hard this weekend. Yeah. Go out there again.
So I made it to a few stops, man. I went to the other side of town. First stop was Motor Row, so that's South Loop, basically. Went down to Dunia Fermenta / Modern Dune.
Okay.
So Modern Dune, of course, is the clean beers, and then Dunia Fermenta is the natural winery / brewery.
Oh, so they do wines.
They're doing wines now.
Oh.
You can get a $12 pour of natty wine if you want at the old Dunia Fermenta.
That's what they're calling it, natty wine?
You know,
Schlitz and Natty out of your mind today. I don't know.
Oh, Nat, you know, you get that Oh Nat wine, you know, Oh Natural. They were always doing co-fermented stuff, right? Yeah. I think the guy, he brewed, I want to say, at Two Brothers, definitely at Lagunitas, and he wanted a departure from that. He was tired of making those Tony McGee's happy beers. So he started doing your fermenta in the old Motor Row Brewing space. RIP to those guys. We had Frank on the show.
Yeah.
Certified LEED building. I get excited about spaces that were breweries, and then the tenant changes, and it's still a brewery. This makes my heart sing, Brad.
Okay.
You know, so I like going there saying, oh, man, you guys are still brewing in this joint.
Yeah.
That's cool. So this is like 23rd and Michigan. Yeah, right down there by where the DePaul Blue Demons play, that arena. Right by McCormick. Wind Trust Arena and McCormick Place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is like walking distance from that stuff.
Sky Play there, right?
That's right. Where Chicago Sky Play.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's multi-floors or no?
There's three floors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you walk in and there's the brew house on the first floor, but in front of the brew house is this tap room. I would say you could see no more than 20 people in this tap room. Okay. Tiny. Maybe 10 around the bar, maybe 10 in the other seats. You know? Okay. So... super tiny tap room, but you go upstairs and there's a full bar with like bench seats, which we never see.
Mm-hmm.
I only remember from the Motor Row days. And then you go to the third floor and there's like a concert venue / event space. So they got three floors.
Nice.
Yeah. Super tiny old elevator though, like the kind that's in an old folks home.
Oh.
Slow ass elevator.
Okay.
One of those.
Not like the chairlift on the side of a stair.
Oh, no. Like, yeah.
Like
where?
A real, you could stand.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's We were talking about Is Was last week.
Okay.
And then, you know, Is Was is focused on Saisons. These boys are focused on farmhouse ales that they co-ferment with wine grapes.
Oh, cool.
You know, okay. I think the one I had was like a Cabernet Franc, which is like a black grape.
Interesting.
Compared to like, I don't know, whatever the regular Cabernet grape is, probably purple or red. I don't fucking know. I'm not super into wine.
Okay.
But yeah, but you know how farmhouse ales... Farmhouse is a broad category, right? Because I think farmhouse really kind of refers to, or even Saison. You know, Saison is just French for season. So these fucking farmers, whatever they had, you know, the growing, that's what they put in their beer.
Right.
So, but it had these kind of funky, acidic, and sometimes, you know, this wide range of flavors that some can be perceived as wine flavors. So they kind of take this beer that kind of has the essence of some wine flavors and then actually just add straight up wine grapes to it. And there you go. So... Vineyard farmhouse ale is the style.
Oh, that's kind of a neat name.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
It took some thought. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
How do they, I think about the mixed culture stuff Half Acre's doing for a while.
Yeah, which is...
Cultivate? Or...
You're talking about keeping it together with the lady? The lady actually is the reason... The lady who started Keeping It Together, which was their guest brewery, they, according to them, she's the reason they started doing mixed culture stuff.
Okay.
The Cove.
So are they kind of, are these junior things kind of like that a little bit? Yeah, or?
That's a fair observation, right? I think the mixed culture thing is like making beers that use a yeast that intentionally sours the beer, right? So then you almost have to have a different space for that versus your clean beers.
Okay.
Versus what Dune's doing is... Hey, we want to pick up wine flavors, so we're just gonna add and ferment grapes into an actual beer recipe.
Okay.
So it's a little, slightly different. I think they're achieving some similar things, but I think they're technically they might be different processes.
Okay.
You know, yeah. But makes sense. But yeah, I think the Cove is probably the closest thing to this that I've seen, and then the Cove would go nuts and just do, hey, we got this Hefeweizen, and you know we reconditioned it on like coconut. And then we sat it in a neutral wine barrel.
Yeah, and Heavier's not doing that anymore, are they?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it. Because the Cove was...
Hot Butcher.
What is now Hot Butcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lincoln was the Cove. And then when they sold it to them, okay. I don't think they do the Cove anymore.
And is there food at Junior?
They do have snacks.
Oh, okay, but not.
Yeah, like chips and like albacore tuna. I'm like, is this in a can? Or do you have like
a tuna can? Open yourself.
Is this chicken of the sea? Or is this like some kind of, you know, is this something a little more elevated? I wasn't that curious.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to know.
You just come back to the table. Like, you said get snacks. Here's a can of tuna.
And some fucking, and some, not even Ritz crackers, just the flat square ones, whatever those are called.
Oh, like club salt kind of, or saltines, just saltines. They got.
But I don't know.
Pretty sure they're like. Just leftover Fallout food.
We had a wedding 2 days ago, and this is what, you know.
This is what they had left.
We printed it out on the menu. No, but I think, and this is what I was saying, man, their beers are intentional with, like, big flavors, you know, and then so drinkable. Like, I had a 5% beer. It was called Freya, you know, Freya. I don't know who that is or what that means.
Okay.
But that was the co-fermented beer I had. It was so fucking drinkable, you know, and it just kind of burst it with like this jammy strawberry and then, you know, kind of funky, acidic, and, you know, kind of sweet. It was actually very good.
Yeah, I haven't made it over there yet. It's one of those spots that...
Oh, like ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I think about going to from time to time and then I just... Something happens.
Dude, and then it's kind of in a spot. I mean, why are you going to McCormick Place?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
auto and, show.
Yeah.
Maybe a Sky Game.
Or a Sky Game. It's a place I haven't been to in a couple years. I think, what was I going to say about these boys? Oh, these are some fancy ass beers. They're like $9 a pour. And then you can try some of the natural wines, which I kind of wanted to try, but they were $12 a pour.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, I see, this is why the cat is hard. You know, it's hard to sell beer, but, you know, these are, you know, you get around at Junior plus tip. You know, you're over $20 in, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, delicious stuff, and it's in a backdrop worthy of just kind of savoring a beer, fussing over it, and you know, just enjoying the space. I think Junior refers to, this is funny, It refers to a species of deer found in the in the forest of Asgard, and Asgard is where Thor and Loki are from.
Yeah.
So it's not even a real place. I'm like, you got to be a real fucking nerd to name your brewery after an imaginary planet and an imaginary forest.
Imaginary forest and imaginary planet.
Okay. Yeah, so that's pretty funny. Oh, but they lean into it, so the antlers and shit are the tap handles, and then there's a ton of shrubs and greenery and bright artwork and shit everywhere.
Okay.
A lot of sunlight. I mean, it's a good hang, man. It really is. It's a good hang for like two beers.
Nice.
You know? So cheers to them, man. I had a good time over there.
Awesome. And then you went over to another Southside spot?
Yeah.
South of the city spot?
Well, it's just, you know, Southside. Yeah. Southside, yeah. 47th in Michigan. So Dunier's on 23rd in Michigan. You go over the expressway. Now you're in Bronzeville. Bronzeville down to 47th. And now you're at Turner House.
Okay.
So Turner House is like a family brewery that occupies the Sip and Savor right at the corner of 47th and Michigan. Mm-hmm. So Sip and Savor is a black-owned coffee shop.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So they struck a deal where the coffee shop closes at 4, and from 4 to like whatever till close, it's the tap room for Turner House.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so Turner House, I'm not sure where they're from. I assume they're local, but it's a family. You always see like 4 or 5 of these family members back there. They have a lot of portraits of their like of their family all through the place, and then they name off all their beers after members of their family.
George.
Like Eliza.
Oh.
Fucking, yeah. Connie, Earlene. I don't know if Earlene is one of them, but, you know. Yeah.
Bob Jr.
Yeah.
Bob Jr. Jr. You know? Bob the Fourth.
Thieving with a PH.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was saying, man, I never actually get to 47th Street. So, of course, I'm at 35th Street because that's where Sox Park is.
Yeah.
And then I go to 53rd because that's Hyde Park. That's downtown Hyde Park. Right. That's basically like Main Street. You know, it's a different world in Hyde Park.
And you got the beach, like the harbor right there at 53rd, right?
Yeah. So I'm never on 47th.
Yeah.
For anything, really. So it was actually kind of, it was kind of cool to be over there.
Is there other stuff on, like, around the coffee shop?
It's in a building. It's a corner, but it's a building that has other businesses.
Okay.
So there's businesses on three corners and then a gas station.
Nice. So are they brewing there?
No. They don't brew at the coffee shop. They actually brew at the old Eataly.
Oh.
Downtown. Yeah. So they brew at the second story brewery, which was called, I forget what that brewery was called.
Yeah.
But it was a brewery at Eataly in Streeterville.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically like across Kitty Corner to Crushed by Giants. Mm-hmm. So they brew there.
But they don't sell the beer there.
No, because that space is no longer open to the public. So I think they lease the space to brew there. But that place does have a tap room.
Right.
So I'm kind of curious to know, hey, is there an opportunity to have a satellite tap room for Turner House in the old Eataly space? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Eataly's alive and well, but they did close the brewery a long time ago.
Hmm.
Yeah, they stopped brewing Eataly beers.
Yeah.
What was Eataly? Eataly was like an Italian chef that was a TV chef, and then Sam Calzione from Dogfish that was a collab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was someone else. I thought it was like 3 people.
Oh, some dude from Eataly, like some Italian brewery. You're right.
Yeah.
The name escapes me. Yeah.
But
yeah, so Turner House is brewing there.
Wasn't Brooklyn involved in that too? Wasn't 3 brewers, like one in each?
Eataly, well, the Italian brewer, for sure.
Sam
Calzione. And definitely the chef. Big redhead guy. I think he ended up getting kicked off TV because he was in some nefarious shit.
Not the BAM guy?
With the ponytail. No, not Emerald.
Yeah,
BAM!
Yeah, the other...
He's a New Orleans guy. BAM!
Yeah, I know.
So, I forget. But yeah, he was a celebrity chef. He was the third guy.
Yeah. Mario Batali?
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. There's Brad, yeah. Yeah, Mario Batali was the third guy.
Okay.
That's Eataly. Yeah. Yeah, man. Eataly was a really good space. They had the Tekku glasses because the guy from the Italian brewery, he created the Tekku glass. It was just a really nice space to be, and it had all windows. On like all 4 walls were windows.
I've never been to the Chicago one. I've been to the New York one.
Okay.
And had beer there.
Like an Italian superstore with like 4 restaurants in there, just a giant space with a bunch of cool imported goods.
Yeah.
And places to eat.
Yeah, we didn't. I think when we went to the New York one, We want a beer, and then we just didn't know where to go eat, and we're like, well, let's just get a sandwich here.
Yeah. Pastry shop on the first floor is a pretty chill spot. Yeah, so that's where Turner House is brewing. So Turner House has, I would say, American-style beers. The only Turner House beer that I really, really, dearly dug was their collab with Uncle Nearest. And it was called, like, it was made in honor of the Uncle Nearest master distiller, who's a woman. So it was like, had something to do with like the Queen's Court or something. Hmm. It was like a,
okay.
I think it was a Caribbean stout aged in Uncle Nearest barrels. Oh. That beer is really fun. I think they do, they have fun with a lot of adjuncts. You know, I think they have like a grapefruit wheat beer and a couple other items. Oh, but I was going because there was a, they were hosting other breweries for a tap takeover.
Okay.
Just kind of celebrating black breweries. So that's why I went, because they had like eight different beers on draft from other folks, you know, Moore's, Funky Town.
Was it Black Brewer Day?
It was National Black Brewers Day.
Yesterday.
So the National Black Brewers Association, which is kind of like a guild that kind of promotes training black people to make beer.
Okay.
And then I think also they have like scholarship programs, but then they also like promote the agenda of black breweries, because I think sometimes their voice gets lost in the shuffle of like major state breweries.
Okay.
You know, I think that's the gist of it, right? So it was a celebration of that.
Sure.
Cool.
Neat.
It was a good hang.
Yeah.
It was a good hang.
I know you've mentioned them a couple times and I've heard them pop up, but I haven't been there either.
Yeah, I think you know, it was funny. I saw Chet Brett there
that night.
That night.
Okay. So
Chet Brett, you know, all 6'8" of him, you know, wearing these. Right. Not only is he 6'9", 6'10", he's wearing the brightest colors of anybody in the room.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I saw Chris, who owns Imperial Oak. Imperial Oak's got two locations. One in
one at the hockey rink.
The hockey rink.
No. Oh, that's not Imperial Oak.
What hockey rink? I don't know the hockey rink.
You went to the ice skating rink?
No, one used to be Brixie's.
Oh.
And like, what, Lions?
Oh, that's right.
And then the other one is right off the expressway by that UPS off 55.
Oh.
So he's got two, Willow Springs. One's Willow Springs and one is near Milk Money. Where was Milk Money?
Milk Money's close?
No, but where was Milk Money? It's near that.
Where is Milk Money?
It's near, it's in one of those, Brookfield or something like that?
Farther than Brookfield, because okay. I've been there.
I can see the water tower.
It's not that far from Buckle Down.
Exactly. So you're out that way.
Yeah.
Buckle Down's Lions. So Brixie's is now Imperial Oak. So Imperial Oak has two locations.
Okay.
So I've been knowing Chris for a long time because we used to take the brew bus to Brixie's.
Okay.
I have no idea why we would do this because it's a 4 a.m. bar. They got a 4 a.m. license. Oh, so I'm talking to him at this, you know, at this event at Turner House. And he's like, you know, Nick, because, you know, he's like, man, you know what's fucked up, Nick? Everybody in the suburbs thinks that when you say South Side of Chicago, you're talking about Inglewood. Like the entire South Side is Inglewood.
Okay.
You know? And I'm like, well, you know, well, no, there's Pilsen, and, you know, there's Beverly, there's Bronzeville, where we are now. Like there's all these, Hyde Park, you know, there's all these different nuances to the South Side. It's not just this one monolithic thing where everybody's running for their life, right? Right. Because, you know, we're chilling, man. These are cobblestone streets. You know, Chet Beck took the train to 47th Street. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like, we're chilling hard as fuck. You know, there's a DJ going. There's patio seating. Like, it's just like a very chill vibe, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think people understand that. And so we started telling these stories about, you know, just our experience on the South Side. And he's like, you know what, man? What made me want to come here, this is Imperial Oak owner. What made me want to come here was I used to deliver 7-Up. And I used to deliver beer in this area. You know, my routes were like, you know, 87th and Western, 95th and Western, and Bronzeville, 47th.
Okay.
And, you know, he ended up working at a store in 47th. And, you know, we started trading stories. And he was like, you know what? One day, a bunch of these hippie white dudes came in and bought up all the Amstel Light and bought up all the Heineken. And I'm like, where the fuck are they? I asked the, you know, people I'm working with, where are they taking this beer? And they're like, oh, the Grateful Dead's playing at Soldier Field. They're taking all this beer to resell it at Soldier Field. So then I started telling him this story about Bruce Durr, who's the brewmaster at Tighthead Brewing.
Yeah.
So one day I'm on 30.
Billy?
Not Billy. Billy's the hippie dude. Yeah,
he's the owner.
He's the other dude. Billy's like the dude that's always in shades. But Bruce Durr is the head brewer. And one day I'm on 31st Street Beach with my kid, and the Fare Thee Well tour, the Grateful Dead's last tour, is at Soldier Field. So I'm walking, you know, from the beach to the other side, you know, McCormick Place parking lot, so I can party with Sweetwater. You know, there's a Sweetwater party in the parking lot. Oh, so anyway, who sees me walking is fucking Bruce Dern.
Oh, funny.
So Bruce Dern, his giant pickup truck, picks me up. He's got this huge lanyard, VIP, all three nights. He's telling me all his Grateful Dead stories. And he's like, the reason I got into beer was because of the Grateful Dead. You go to a parking lot at the Dead show, you can drink any beer in the country, you know, in the 80s, 90s. So I'm telling him, like, I learned this about Bruce Deere on the South Side at 31st Street Beach, you know? Yeah. So we're trading kind of these kind of stories, which is pretty funny, you know, considering the event we were at.
That's cool.
But, yeah, it was a good hang, man, you know? I drank Funky Town all night.
Okay. You haven't drank Turner House?
I didn't drink any Turner House. Yeah, I didn't drink any Turner House. Caught up with the Moores guys. The Moores guys are done at 18th Street. They're brewing out in Colorado.
Oh.
At a place called Prost.
But they're still selling beer here?
They're selling beer. They're targeting a national audience now. They're targeting Philly and New York and
That's hard.
D.C. They're like, man, they were getting these orders in. But, you know, they've been on national TV. You know, they're in magazines. I think they were in a point where, remember when we interviewed Sketchbook? And Sketchbook was like, we're having so many issues with Gray Central, we'd rather just build another fucking brewery.
Yeah.
Right. So they put in these orders at 18th Street and there'd be, you know, delay, delay, delay. And they're like, you know what, man? I think we just outgrew the space. You know, I mean, and it wasn't anything 18th Street was doing. It's just, it was a lot of fucking beer they were asking for. You know, it wasn't just, you know, Sprinter vans. It was like full on, you know, 18-wheelers, you know, because they're selling beer in these pockets and that people get them.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so they were just like, they're excited about their new partnership out in Colorado, caught up with them.
That's awesome for them. I would have thought that would be even harder than trying to get a foothold in a city or a town, just being like, we're the brewery here.
Yeah, I think
popping up, just getting people across the country to know who you are, that's amazing.
How does it kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, is it the niche thing kind of, remember 12% Distro? And how, like, you know, they would just carry Cool Kid brands. So, like, they would sell Mars beer and off-color beer in, like, San Francisco.
Sure.
At some fancy-ass restaurants. And, you know, you get a drop here and there. I didn't get to talk long enough, but I wonder if it's like that. You know, where it's like, yeah, we're in New York and, you know, it's like a...
but it's a limited...
It's an activation. And, you know, we're going to party for a month kind of thing. Mm. So I didn't really get the full details.
So you're always basically just getting people excited. Or, yeah, maybe. We're not saying this.
We don't know. I don't know.
That's an interesting way to do it. Like... We're just dropping beer around the country, kind of like getting people excited for our brand. You can't get it all that often. This is new. It's gone next week.
Because I'm with you. Like, if you, to make that sustainable, you got to actually have boots on the ground in these places.
Right.
And I didn't talk enough to know to say that they
Otherwise,
don't.
Otherwise, you're like a band.
Yeah.
Like, just touring and being like, show up tonight. We're playing at the Subterranean.
We'll be a sub T. We'll be here for 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So
we got a pickup truck of beer. Let's go.
So I'm curious to know how that works for them, because yeah, those boys are working. Every time I see them, they're just always in sales mode.
That's cool. Damn. Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good night there.
That was a good hang. Yeah. It was nice to catch up with everybody. I think what did I miss about that? I think, that was about that. I think the guests were Moore's, Funky Town, Black Horizon, and the creators of Harold's Honey Ale at Haymarket.
Oh, yeah.
So that's Sam Ross, who's a brewer at Goose, and then Jay Westbrook, who's kind of a freelancer. I think his handle is Black Beer Baron. Hmm. So he's got like three releases at Sketchbook, and he's got a couple of releases at Haymarket.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So he's kind of, you know, it's kind of a free agent. Yeah, I think he works at Nisei Lounge during the day.
Well, you brought up the Moores leaving 18th Street.
Yeah.
And we heard this rumor that Saint Laurent is leaving Temperance, which I guess I didn't even know they were there.
I didn't either. I knew they were Gypsy Brewers, right? Because they've been at Beguile, they've been at Microphone.
Right.
I didn't know they were at Temperance.
I didn't even know they were at Microphone. I know they were at...
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, I have not even seen one of their beers in a long time.
I think... I used to love their beers.
They came in little cans.
They were the little buddy. Came in little buddy cans.
Before little buddy. They were the little buddies. 18%.
They debuted the little buddy can. they I want to say they were the precursor to phase three. So they got to a point where you had to make a decision, like, do I want the fresh hazy drop from, this is like 2018, do I want the fresh hazy drop from Saint Laurent like I've been getting, or do I want Shauna Brew, who just left Moore, or do I want, you know, his hazy drop? And I think they kind of got lost in the shuffle, because the minute phase three started coming out with this crazy barrel stuff, I had kind of quit seeking, personally, I quit seeking Saint Laurent, even though I liked their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, the arrival of phase three, I think, kind of split that audience a little bit.
Right. And then Hot Butcher now.
Oh, and being, the, yeah.
At the Haymarket, not Haymarket, Half Acre spot. Where's Saint Laurent fitting here? What's Saint Laurent offering?
Yeah. And Saint Laurent did have a moment. I think at Microphone, they came out, their hazies were in these 765s, these big bottles, the way Microphone used to do it. Yeah, and their beers were great.
So apparently they were brewing at Temperance, and now they are looking for a new space. And this could mean many things. That they're like need more space because they're doing so much beer, which I doubt it. I don't see their beer, but maybe they're doing something similar with drops around the country.
Maybe they're selling places and we just don't have eyes on it.
Right. Yeah. Then there's also Temperance could be like, we need the space, get out.
Oh yeah, we need to focus on our own beers. Or maybe Temperance just ran a hard bargain, and whatever they were charging Saint Laurent's like, you know what, I think this is past what we are willing to pay.
Yeah. And then the third, which seems crazy, Temperance is shutting down.
There is a rumor floating around that Temperance might be announcing that they're coming to an end. Yeah.
That seems insane to me.
I mean, from a distance, yeah. But I mean, recently, in like the last 6 months, they did have some program where you could buy into Temperance. You could like buy stock in a Temperance. And I forget who they use, but it was GoFundMe-esque. It's like, hey, let's raise funds. And in exchange for funds, you become a business owner.
And the last people who did that was where?
Fire Rabbit?
The Behemoth, not Behemoth.
Nah, that's Floyd's, Three Floyd's.
Oh, Forbidden Root took over their space.
Oh, Band of Bohemia.
Band of Bohemia did that, like, Kickstarter GoFundMe for, like, help us open up our upstairs game room.
Yeah, this shit never works. You know, the only time it was really successful, and I think it was a kiss of death to a lot of other breweries, Pipeworks. Pipeworks had a successful GoFundMe. 18th Street had a successful GoFundMe. A lot of people don't know the work.
Sketchbook did too.
Well, the Pipeworks one, the Pipeworks one, they had that money. The money they were looking for, they had it already. They had it, and then they were looking for the public to just kind of give them that amount again, right?
To do other stuff.
Right, you know. The money to launch, they had seed money to launch. Mm-hmm. So their Kickstarter was just kind of like, okay, this ensures that we have everything we need to really make a splash.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think these other places are probably really don't have money at all, and they're actually looking for the money.
Right, and everyone's sort of like, I'm coming in here and buying beer. You want more money to sell me more beer? I got my own stuff to pay for. Yeah. I'm not here to give you more money.
And you know, some of these places, man, beers are $9 a pour, $8 a pour. Mm-hmm. No, beer ain't cheap these days.
It should be. All the ingredients are
at the source.
Are cheaper. The source is
Are raw ingredients.
Raw ingredients are cheaper because less people are using them with like the seltzer category and the cocktails not needing those ingredients. So, but you know, labor and space, all that's more expensive. So
one of the first shows we did on the road, I think, was at Temperance.
Yeah,
it was a
Hopcast. Chicago Beer Pass split night.
Yeah, that's right.
I think there were shotgunning beers involved.
I do remember this, yeah. We hung out. They had just come off their JBF award. Mm-hmm. Claudia was there. One of my JBF is this week, so cheers to anybody who went there.
The redhead guy.
Yeah, and Alex Lovingood. Alex Lovingood becoming a star. Mm-hmm. A star is born. He was a star. I haven't heard from him in a while, but I think he moved to Iowa. Last time I saw him, we were at Fobab a few years ago, and he kind of stopped us because we had him on the show.
So it would be, man, I think you're right. Like the Kickstarter thing, I don't know. Did it not work?
I don't know. I haven't been following it.
But for them to close, like during COVID, that was the best place to hang out because they had a parking lot. It was basically tailgating.
Yeah.
And then just like, oh, just buy beer. I don't even have to bring, I could bring my own beer, but I just buy it from you. And then.
And also they partnered with this music event company called Space. So they would throw concerts in their parking lot. And some pretty cool concerts, you know, Big Boy from Outkast. I saw Slick Rick there. I saw KRS-One from BDP was there.
Sure.
I've seen some cool concerts at fucking Temperance, man. So, and there's no other brewery that's doing concerts like that.
Right.
You know? So I would be surprised, but I mean, we don't understand all the logistics, you know. We don't understand the financial setup, so.
But whenever I've been there, it's seems busy. It's not very big, so that's like one of the problems with it.
Yeah.
So they can only turn over so much beer. They don't have that much seating, and when winter comes, they lose like half of it.
Yeah. Temperance. The Temperance movement started in Evanston. The Temperance movement is ultimately what led to Prohibition, and you know the 12th that amendment was to be passed. So it's funny, like the first brewery in Evanston since.
Yeah, it'd be the 12th because of the 13th Amendment from San Francisco, aren't they? 13th? No.
No, you're 21st.
21st.
21st Amendment. 20th. Yeah, so it had to be the 21st, yeah.
So it was the 20th Amendment.
But they're calling your brewery Temperance when the Temperance movement led to Prohibition was actually a pretty stroke of genius. I dig that a lot.
That's why Few, too.
Few. Oh, because it's named after, people don't know that. It's named after a woman. Frances E. W.
Right.
But she was a key figure in the Temperance movement.
Yeah.
So they're just like kind of thumbing their nose at all these, whatever you call the Temperance ladies.
The teetotalers?
That's a whole school word right there.
You use thumb your nose.
That's true. I did just say thumb your nose. But, you know, it gave you a reason. I've been to Temperance. I've been to Few, you know. It gave me a reason to go to Evanston. Evanston at one point had three breweries, fucking Smiley and Sketchbook and Temperance. And then, you know, Claudia from Goose went to Temperance. One of my favorite images. I brought up JBF because of this. I'm sitting, they're giving out the awards on Saturday morning. And, you know, they're ripping the awards so fast. And this winner and this winner. So all the guys are coming down. And there's a line to get your award. So Temperance, which is like their first year of existence.
Yeah.
They won a silver medal for English IPA.
Which is possibly Goose's.
You know, well, the head brewer just came from Goose, who makes, you know, probably the best local version of an English IPA, Goose IPA. Oh, so the way the line is set up, Claudia stops, and she's parallel to the Goose guys. And I'm seeing this because I'm one row ahead of all of this. And Claudia's like, just kind of waving, like, hi. You know, like, I don't know. Yeah. It was actually a pretty cool scene, you know.
So, I don't know if there's any truth to this rumor or if, well, we know Saint Laurent is looking for a spot. What that means, it means a lot of stuff. But either we're breaking news here or we're spreading rumors.
You know, we speculate wildly, Brad. Yeah. You know, this is kind of our thing, you know.
I guess so. You mentioned Goose. I saw a thing that Honkers is coming out.
That's right. It sounds like, well, Honkers has been on draft a lot at both locations, Salshed and Fulton.
Okay.
But I think Honkers is officially in cans again now.
Right.
Well, I don't think it was ever in cans. It's in production again.
So this is exciting.
Packaging.
And also worried. Like, you know, Honkers is a great beer.
Yeah.
If we can have Honkers at home, that's amazing. Goose is often slow to the trends, right? So as this like old man beer trend kind of like pick back up.
Yeah.
Is Honkers coming into cans mean like we're about to transition away from these like pilsners and lagers and premium lagers?
Oh, you mean we might be headed full back into the mild porter?
Or are we going back to just West Coast IPAs now? Like, if we're going to be paying $9, I want to taste it.
You want a double IPA. You want fucking Arrogant Bastard.
Right.
I mean, because how long ago was that era? You know, that's
kind of, I almost what got me into, or as I was getting into craft beer, yeah. more so was this like big IPA.
So like 08, 07, maybe earlier, yeah. or 08, 09, something like that. I would welcome it, you know, because I would think 2010-ish is when I started drinking pretty heavy. And it was, yeah, it was those Portland, it was all the West Coast stuff.
Right.
Portland and Cali and Seattle and, you know, all those guys. And they were all making malt bills, like those bone dry malt bills where you put these crazy hops on top and it just exploded.
Because even this Geo is a West Coast Pilsner. It's basically a hoppy Pilsner.
Yeah.
It's kind of great. It kind of hits that both like, oh, I want something. It's 5.5, but has a lot of flavor.
It almost does. It almost the same sensation as what hop water is doing for you. Like right. it's getting out of the way and letting you just enjoy some killer fresh hops, but not in an IPA form.
Yeah.
It's satisfying your IPA itch.
And it's showcasing the hops.
Yes.
Without getting you fucked up.
Right.
Right. Which yeah. that's what the hazies were kind of messing it all up, where they were showcasing different hops. They're like, man, I can only drink like one of these.
You couldn't pair it with food. It saturated the palate, and then it kind of reminded you of like other things that weren't beer, mm-hmm. like cocktails, orange juice, shit like that. And then it, so the category, it's just like, I wouldn't get another one of these. I'm more likely to go get a margarita after this.
Right.
You know?
So now after a summer of premium lagers and pale or pilsners and all that, Goose coming out with Honkers again.
Yeah.
Which is great.
ESB.
Hey, is it too late?
I don't know. I actually kind of dug it just being on draft. Because when I would go, whenever I go to Goose, that was one of the first people I get.
Right.
Because I couldn't get anywhere else. Right. It was kind of a Wisconsin thing, right? I mean, Wisconsin, let me get Spider Cat.
I better get a Honkers. I'm here.
Yeah.
Get this.
So for me, you know, me personally, I would be like, I would just put it on, I'd keep it on draft.
Right. Because I'm not going to go to Goose Island, either Salt Shed or Fulton, and get a 312.
No, I'm getting Honkers for sure. Yeah. Honkers is a kind of a special beer because, you know, the 25th anniversary of Goose? Their anniversary ale was an imperial version of Honkers. It was 7%. And I remember being there and was talking to one of the brewers, and they were like, man, this beer is a pain in the dick to brew because Honkers has like 7 different hops. It's got 4 different malts. Like, even though it's a tiny beer, it's like 4% or whatever. Mm. It's actually like a pretty complex recipe.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that's part of what makes it fun.
So, I don't know. It's a... exciting, and then also I'm almost thinking ready for the next phase of what's to come.
Brad's ready for Brad's ready for brown ales.
Brown ales, yeah. Well, it's barely a season coming up here. Once we get through
Oktoberfest,
1,800 more Oktoberfests.
Yeah, barely just next. Oh, God help us.
Which Goose just announced, speaking of them, another... Goose or Bourbon County?
Yeah, so they initially, I want to say September-ish, maybe even June, July, they announced the lineup for this Black Friday, and it was 5.
Right, which was like a tight 5. It sounds pretty good.
You know, the return of vanilla, I was most excited about that. And then this new one with Bardstown,
yeah,
which I think was a double.
The Roots beer, the root beer.
Double.
Burt's root beer.
No, oh. Bardstown. What are you talking about? Bardstown. Bardstown's a
Bard's root beer?
No, not Bard. No, Bardstown Distillery. Bardstown Distillery. The dude from Maker's Mark left and all started Bardstown, which I hear is actually a really nice distillery, okay. like state of the art. So prop, OG, vanilla, this Bardstown thing, and then fuck, I'm missing the last one.
There was like a flavored one, right?
Oh yeah, it was macaroon.
Macaroon,
which could be hit or miss because they know their way around chocolate and coconut, mm-hmm. but this is chocolate, coconut, and ginger.
So
it could, who knows?
Right.
So that was the 5.
Right, and now they announce a new one, which kind of makes sense. You basically now have a 6-pack, kind of you think idea.
You
right?
think they'll take their our idea of
and do a Goose 6-pack of a month?
I mean, just for us, just for the city.
They got stupid boxes. For all these.
They got this thing, and this is
you bags know, and boxes.
Yeah, they're so caught up in the branding of their with their partners that they probably won't do it.
Yeah,
but they should.
That'd be a fun thing you could buy, or just maybe on the website, or like when you're checking out, like get the 6-pack.
at all. Yeah. So the sixth one is extended aging, which they're pretty good at. This is technically Bourbon County Rare. This is the third edition of Bourbon County Rare.
Okay. So they're dropping prop.
They're dropping, well, prop is still releasing in bottles. It's one of the five.
Oh, it's one of the five.
Yeah. It was like a Mexican candy pop is this year's pop.
Oh, okay.
Prop. Yeah. So prop is still being released, Chicago only variant, but prop day is usually the preview where you can try them all, and this their block party outside of Fulton. Prop day is being replaced by rare day. So they're going to focus on rare, and it'll be the first chance you can try Bourbon County Rare this year instead of prop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll take that. You know, this year's prop is 2 years, double barrel, 2 years in King of Kentucky barrels. So King of Kentucky is a single barrel release from the good folks at Brown-Forman. Brown-Forman owns Jack Daniel's, and they also own Woodford Reserve.
Okay.
So the master distiller from Woodford Reserve, every year he goes and picks out, it's for the last 3 years, he goes and picks out maybe 30 barrels that he thinks are the peak of the program, and then he releases those as single barrel releases for King of Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah. So King of Kentucky is the barrel they're using for this. So this is a double barrel release. So it sat a year in King of Kentucky barrels. They dumped it and put it in other fresh King of Kentucky barrels.
I
feel good about this because the other times I've done this with the double barreling part,
yeah,
extended aging part, they did this with Weller for their anniversary a few years ago. I really enjoyed that. They did this with the Old Fitzgerald barley wine, which is insane. I think the Old Fitzgerald barley wine for me is the best year of beer they've made in the last 5 years. Really good there. So this has a chance to be a really special release, this Bourbon County Rare. To run back the rare lineage, I think the very first rare was like the first $50 bottle of beer. That was Pappy Van Winkle barrels.
That was sweet. It was in like a wooden box.
Yeah. Now you got this wooden box. You don't know what to name it. No, that's the second one.
To name the box. That's old bloxy wood square wood here.
You're thinking of the second one.
Oh, that was in the box.
Remember the first one
was green box.
Green box. Oh, green paper box.
The second one was in.
And the second one was in these kind of
square box. Woody.
Exactly, and woody. So the first one was Pappy Van Winkle barrels for 2 years. The second one was in Heaven Hill barrels. But they were these Heaven Hill barrels that they lost. Heaven Hill lost these barrels. So you got these 30. They
found them at Goose.
They found them. They're like, what the fuck are these barrels? And they're like, oh, well, these are special barrels. Let's sell them at Goose. And that was the story. So that was Rare Part 2. And this is Rare Part 3.
Okay.
Yeah. So, KOK. We'll see.
Fun.
It's got a chance to be good. Yeah. I'm holding out. I'm not going to get too excited.
Okay. You know. And then we have Deep Woods, which I grabbed. We could crack this open.
Okay.
This isn't part of the release, but we got the lineup of the new Deep Woods stuff, right?
Yeah, Deep Woods 2024.
It is all the alphabetical letters. It's Scrabble Deep Woods.
is that what it is? Oh, I'm pulling up. I was gonna pull up the.
I guess this is the first release of the season is going to be October 18th, so a week from today when we're recording this.
Let's go to Raz website and see what these releases are.
And the first release is the kind of the classic. It's Death Star, Cafe Death, or Death Star, Cafe Death. There is a, I'm blanking on it as Nick pulled it up, but it's those two mainstays that you always see every year.
Yeah. D-Star.
Cafe Death.
I don't see that one, Brad. You know what I see? I see the fancy ones.
Oh, you only see the fancy ones? Well, there's a event on Facebook for next weekend or next Friday on the 18th. So that's.
Oh, you're talking about Bramble.
Oh, Bramble. Yeah, Bramble's next. There's four on October 18th. But anyway, what are the crazy fancy ones then?
The fancy ones are in the 19.2 ounce cans, and it's the 2010 variant collection. So let's see here. You've got On and On Part 3, a VSO version of On and On Part 3 is what that's called. So that's a double barrel aged stout. Then you've got DBXOD Le Transois.
Okay.
Which is a stout aged in bourbon barrels. And then you got DBVSOJ Barley Winery. Double Barrel VSOJ sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. They're getting out of hand. I love Revolution. You know, I can walk to it. It's one of my favorite breweries. These letters are driving me nuts.
Right. So this one we have is the classic Strawberry Jacket, or, you know, Strawberry Jacket.
Banas.
And this one's from 2019. So I have no idea how this one's gonna taste, but
this I drafted them in FOBAB. They took silver this
for
year.
That one.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I drafted. I had the first pick.
Oh,
my first pick was Revolution. I had
but
the first
it wasn't
pick overall.
Strawberry Jacket.
No, part. But that they took a gold that year for okay. Strawberry Jacket.
It still kind of smells like strawberry,
it
right?
It does, yeah.
Like strawberries that were in your basement.
Because, you know, people have strawberries, and that's where they keep the strawberry preserves, maybe.
Yeah, you go down and get jam from the shelf next to the washer and dryer.
It does. It is jammy. It is definitely jammy. That Double Barrel XOD is a three-year-old blend.
Okay. Huh. That actually tastes better than I expected it to be after almost 5 years.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad I'm cracking this open because I love being in Chicago where there's Goose and Rev, and their philosophies couldn't be any more different. So Rev will tell you, Goose will tell you, Goose is telling you the story. Goose is like, we're painting this picture. It's the greatest goddamn beer picture you've ever seen. And it involves our partners and this marriage of wood and beer and all this kind of shit. And it's actually just very scenic.
Okay.
You know, Goose is amazing with this kind of shit. Rev, on the other hand, will tell you in a heartbeat, you know, those are these cool story barrels, right? So King of Kentucky is a good example of that. King of Kentucky is a 16-year-old whiskey. Now, if you let Rev tell the story, Rev's like, listen, 16 years old is awesome if you're tasting the whiskey. But if you have this barrel that has had this liquid in it for 16 years, maybe 75% of it is gone. And that barrel is not as expressive as it should be if you want to put another spirit in it. So the real sweet spot is like a 4-year barrel. A 7-year barrel, you know, like barrels that are actually going to work for you as a brewery, you know. And so, and that's what I love about Rev, because Rev's like, we don't give a fuck about these fancy barrels. We're going to get the barrels that are going to execute on flavor in the beer the best, not tell a cool ass story like Goose is telling.
Yeah.
So I kind of appreciate both sides of this conversation. That's why I brought it up. You know,
I like that. And the ingredients they both choose to use is often very different, where Goose sometimes leans more on that like desserty kind of ingredients, and Rev is more on, like you said, like what's going to complement the beers, and then so sometimes fruit to add to this, like enhance the beer flavor.
Yeah, accent. And they really try to
not what's going to play or play fun together as like a fun combo, like macaroon or the chocolate banana.
Yeah. So just two completely different ways of thinking about barrel-aged beers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're in a really good space where we get to enjoy them at kind of the peak of their powers, both crews.
Yeah.
I love it, man. You know, we got two newspapers. We got two baseball teams.
We still got two newspapers?
We do. I mean, I haven't read either one of them, but they do exist. Because when I walk in the dog, I'm like, oh shit, people still get the paper delivered. It's tiny. But you know, like sometimes afternoon edition, people are getting it delivered. I see it on the street when I'm walking. So it's pretty funny.
People don't know how to like unsubscribe to it. The paper doesn't have a website that you can unsubscribe.
They're like me. I was trying to cancel some service and iPostal made me call them between the hours of 9 and 4 in the afternoon to cancel. It's probably like that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I don't know. We're not open.
You can't cancel online. You got to call us. Motherfuckers.
Well, listen, we work newspaper hours, so.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah, totally different ways on how to achieve barrel-aged goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
So as we end Oktoberfest season, barrel stout season is kind of, or barrel beer season, because there's not stouts. This is barley wine.
Yeah, barley wine. You know, you might get some sours.
Scotch ales.
Oh, Scotch ales.
Yeah. So we'll end Oktoberfest season, get right into this barrel age season, which is a fun transition, but...
You know, we're about to be a whole lot of fucked up, but you know, the weather doesn't cooperate and doesn't love us, so, you know, it's kind of what we do up around these parts.
There's more accidents in the winter, it's not the ice and snow, it's the people, big stouts.
People hopping in their car when they should have sat the fuck down. They should have stayed where they were, that's what that is.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No one can be on their bikes. Had that strawberry jacket.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long ass winter, man. But this helps. This eases the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strawberry jacket's every bit of like 5 years old now, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I can't believe that was 2019. I am kind of shocked. This has basically kind of been in the fridge, probably the whole time, mm-hmm. besides like moving it to make space at times. But yeah. In general, it's a properly cellar.
There you go.
Yeah. It held up. Well,
I would say so. Yeah, it wasn't. I wouldn't say it's like two passes prime.
No, it feels maybe a little old or losing less flavor, but you still get strawberry, you still get jacket.
Yeah, because you know, I'm still getting this jacket. But you know, when it was, I remember it released because this was a summer release. You know how they do
it? Oh, that's right.
It was next to Honey Jacket.
Okay.
And, oh, but it tasted like a straight up cocktail.
Okay. Yeah.
So now it tastes like barley wine.
Mm-hmm. It's like with fruit. Like a hint of strawberry.
Yeah, it's like strawberry jam barley wine. Well, like Honey Jacket, I hated when it came out. But if you drink a Honey Jacket now, it's like these smoky flavors are coming out of it.
Oh, cool.
And it actually kind of, I like it better now. Yeah, I hated Honey Jacket. I'm like, barley wine is already sweet. What the fuck? Now you go, oh, you got honey on your roof and you're putting honey in this sweet ass? Oh, great. That's cool. Yeah. But it's holding up. I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Anything else before we get out of here, wrap this one up?
I think that's it, man. Shout out to, oh my God. Shout out to Oktoberfestiversary happening this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a good one. The Yacht Rockettes will probably be there.
Oh, okay.
And they usually close that thing out. Yeah. That's a good party. Dovetail and Guile to close out festivals.
The summer.
Yeah. Close out block party season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's it, man.
We'll do it. So we'll be back with another episode soon. Take care.
Cheers.